Hello, everyone. I hope you're doing well. I'm Patrick Casey, sitting in for Henrik Palmgren, and you're listening to Red Ice Radio. Our guest for today is F. Roger Devlin. We've had Roger on in the past to discuss his book, Sexual Utopian Power, and again to debunk the myth of an Islamic golden age in Spain. In this show, however, we'll be discussing incels, a subculture that has recently come under a massive amount of public scrutiny. Welcome back to Red Ice, Roger. How are you doing?
Hi, glad to be here.
Well, we wanted to invite you back to Red Ice to discuss mainstream society's recent discovery of incel culture. But before we dive too deeply into that, why don't you explain to the audience what exactly the term incel refers to?
Well, I have never actually used the term incel in my writings on sex and the sexes. It's a term that originated in the 1990s, apparently, as part of some internet discussion board, and it means involuntarily celibate. In plain language, it's a young man who can't seem to get a girlfriend, and some of them have recently turned violent.
Indeed, and that has been the cause of much fear and alarm in the mainstream, and they're beginning to treat incels like a serious existential threat, a danger to society.
Yes.
But we'll talk about that
More
in a little bit. So the term incel rebellion was found in a Facebook post made by Alec Manassian, the perpetrator of the Toronto van attack. So the post reads, "The incel rebellion has already begun. We will overthrow all the Chads and Stacys. All hail the supreme gentleman, Elliot Roger." So what do you make of that?
Yes. Well, the Chads and Stacys just means the sexually and socially successful men and women. And so it's obviously some kind of envy-driven movement. I think I've explained the basis of it in my own work, though, Sexual Utopia and Power. A generation ago, when the sexual revolution happened, it was generally expected that it would make sex easier for men to get. And there are a lot of people out there who still think that that is the case, that sex in general has become easier for men in general to get. But what actually happens is that the same amount of sex is redistributed. Whereas under monogamy, everybody gets one mate, under a system of sexual liberation, all the women chase after a relatively small, very successful, sexually attractive men. And so sex actually becomes more difficult to get for, I would say, probably the majority of men. Certainly any kind of regular long-term sexual relationship becomes harder to get. What you find is that now unusually successful or famous men end up monopolizing maybe the fertility periods of three different women, you know, marrying and divorcing or marrying and being divorced. And so, of course, this is going to leave a lot of frustrated men. And in a way, it seems surprising that something like this hasn't happened before. I think we've had two clear cases, the Elliot Roger murders a few years ago in Isla Vista, California. And then there was a possible case in, I believe it was also in Canada, before the Alex Manassian, like a year or so ago, where the killing may have been motivated by the same thing. It appears that some of these so-called incels have developed an online culture of their own that is extremely negative. As I say, it seems to be driven by envy to a great extent and to have resulted in just hatred of most people in general. They don't seem to have much of a constructive way, in my, you know, any constructive solution to the problem. My solution, of course, is to go back to the system of having people get married when they come of age. We didn't have these kind of killings back when everybody married right out of high school.
So would you say that incels are, to some extent, victims of the sexual revolution, or do you think they deserve, they deserve blame for not being, you know, attractive enough, successful enough, and so forth, as the left seems to implying?
Yeah. Well, it's always easy to make fun of sexually unsuccessful men. I have seen that the people on these incel boards do seem to, like, one of the common patterns is that they suffer from depression. Depression is a terrible thing for your sex life. A depressed man necessarily engages in behavior that makes him seem low status, like slumped shoulders. You know, a person suffering from depression gives off vibes that he's, you know, not unsuccessful and unhappy, and people don't want to be around him. Also, I think anxiety and neuroticism are correlated with this membership in incel groups. So, yeah, they could be men who have, you know, in many cases, I'm sure they do have particular problems, personality problems. But, you know, it was inevitable that this was going to happen to somebody. Once female sexual desire was liberated, it was inevitable that a lot of guys were going to be so. You know, you can't blame it entirely on their personality defects. After all, it used to be that more than 90% of people got married, and a lot of those people had personality defects, right? Marriage was understood as an institution for everybody, or almost everybody, not just for the glamorous or, you know, and not much of a big deal was made out of it. Another reason for what we're seeing now is a tendency of our society in general to place too much stress on sex, I think. People would, as I say, they'd get married typically right out of high school. They'd get sex out of their system, and then they'd turn to the more important business of raising families. But now guys go on for years being unable to marry and get, you know, with all the pornography out there and the general mood of the culture, they become preoccupied by sex in a very unhealthy way. A lot of these incels appear to believe that they have no value simply because they're not screwing women all the time. And, you know, that was never an expectation in traditional society anyway.
Right. I think most of these incels appear to be highly intelligent. Maybe some of them are, I don't know, borderline autistic, and that's why they have they have issues. Yeah. But, you know, people who are highly intelligent, and even people with, you know, Asperger's or something, are quite often capable of doing, creating great works of art or being, you know, great scientists and so forth. And yeah, so under a more traditional, healthy social order, these people would have a wife and they would, you know, be free to pursue other things, and they would have, you know, a healthy sense of self-worth and so forth. But based on your exploration of the incel subculture, does it appear that most of them have kind of accepted defeat? Have they, or is there maybe a self-improvement aspect to that? I know that's a big thing in the manosphere, learning games and so forth.
Well, obviously self-improvement is a far more practical and positive way of dealing with problems like this. I have to say, I'm not an expert on the incel committee or a culture, online culture. I just know a little bit by hearsay, but they seem to be rather fixated on what they call the black pill, on this idea that they're losers and there's nothing they can do about it. And so that's obviously something that's going to lead to extremely negative outcomes, like the Alex Manassian case. So, I personally would prefer to emphasize the, these people are responsible for what they do, obviously, and only Manassian is responsible for what he did. But I think that the general culture in the West now is such that it makes the appearance of some men like this almost inevitable. It's surprising. Some people have expressed surprise that it doesn't happen more often. And not just with young men who can't get a girlfriend, but also men who are another set of men, a little older, who have been through marriage and divorce and separated from their children. And sometimes these guys are liable to fly off the handle, too. There have been cases of one, I don't know, trying to shoot a family court judge. And it's surprising this doesn't happen more also. to give you an idea of how hostile the culture is to men and men's problems, a few years ago, I think maybe it was 2011, there was a man, not an incel, but one of these divorced fathers who was separated from his family, and he poured gasoline over himself and burned himself alive in front of a family court building up in New England. His name was Thomas James Ball. You can look it up. And there was a Wikipedia article. Let me back up a little bit. I don't know. Have you ever seen the famous photograph of the Buddhist monk in Vietnam burning himself to death?
Yeah,
it's a very famous Life magazine photograph. Anybody who grew up in America in the 60s and 70s, like me, saw this photograph. It became extremely famous and was widely reproduced. A Buddhist monk in a meditation position who had covered himself with gasoline and set himself on fire. And this man, Thomas James Bowl, did the same thing up in New Hampshire. And somebody wrote it up in Wikipedia, and within about 48 hours, the article had been taken down on the grounds that it wasn't sufficiently noteworthy. Think about that. It's not noteworthy that a man burns himself to death in front of a family court building in the middle of America in the 21st century. So, you know, clearly we got some people, some very hostile people out here who don't want anybody to know what's going on with men. I think a lot of them are feminists.
That's very apt. And the reaction that we've seen in the past few weeks to what has been termed the incel rebellion from the left, yes, from progressives, liberals too, has been very, very, very interesting and very revealing. My perspective on it is that incels are kind of the canary in the coal mine. They are indicating that the sexual revolution has not resulted in everyone being happier, right, having more sex, being freer. In fact, I would argue for each of those, the opposite is the case. I want to read you a few reactions that have been particularly alarming.
Go ahead.
So Ellen Pao, the former CEO of Reddit, tweeted the following: CEOs of big tech companies, you almost certainly have incels as employees. What are you going to do about it? So what do you think? What do you think she meant by this?
Yeah, well, first of all, she doesn't define what she means. Is she talking about the guys who are on these Reddit discussions, talking about mowing people down, or does she just mean every guy out there who can't find a girlfriend? Because, you know, that's going to be a rather large number of people to try to to get force out of the economy. And of course, it obviously, you know, taking a guy who has a lot of problems and forcing him out of his job is probably going to lead to more dangerous or criminal behavior than would otherwise be the case. So, yeah, obviously not a very well thought out comment. But, you know, that's some people, that's the first thing they think. Yeah, we have this problem population. Let's just suppress them, you know.
Yeah, they just want to shut it down. They want unperson incels, as they've done to right-wing political dissidents.
The alt-right, yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's very similar, and there have been articles that have linked the incel subculture to quote-unquote racism and other things as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, the SPLC has certainly done that. They like to talk about the supposed misogyny within our movement. And of course, it's an old chestnut. I think it goes back to Wilhelm Reich of the psychoanalytic movement, that right-wing politics is inspired by sexual frustration. It's become a sort of a left-wing canard.
Indeed. This might be a bit dystopian, but do you think that in the future, suspected incels could face social repercussions similar to those that other political dissidents face?
Well, here again, you'd have to distinguish between the people who are active on these internet discussion boards and the considerably larger group of young men who don't or don't yet have a girlfriend or a family. I guess you could make a good case for looking in with, you know, what's up with these guys who are on the discussion boards. Some of them may indeed have serious problems, personality difficulties, depression, what have you. It's hard to see how you know, single men could be demonized on a large scale because they're the pool of potential husbands for women, you know, and of course sex is something private, and so these people aren't going to be known unless they make themselves known.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I was thinking of people being doxxed as, you know, having a forum account on some website or something. Even if they're, you know, I could see even just someone who goes on these websites and very, respectfully, timidly complains about the current state of things without making extreme or potentially violent remarks. I could see people like that getting fired and being treated as threats. Because beyond the threat of violence, the left uses that. The left blows the issue of violence, particularly right-wing violence, out of proportion because they understand that we pose a threat to them that doesn't have anything to do with violence. We could be completely nonviolent, and I would say most of the alt-right, most identitarians absolutely are.
Yes.
But nevertheless, we challenge their ideas, we challenge their cultural hegemony, and that is ultimately what they are afraid of. So I have another tweet that I want to read to you here. So this is from a guy named Jesse McLaren. He is a BuzzFeed employee with over 1 million Twitter followers. He wrote the following on Twitter. "Hey, incel dudes, you were sold a worldview that turned out to be a lie. Don't cling to it. Admit you got scammed and move on. I found this one interesting because it's actually true, but not for the reason that he believes. The lie that incels were sold is the sexual revolution. It's progressivism overall.
Right.
But this guy seems to be referring to, traditional or reactionary gender roles and so forth.
Oh, really? I'm not familiar with this man. He means what? Like marriage is the lie or what?
Yeah, I think this really cuts to the core of the issue here is that the left believes that incels have this worldview where they are owed sex, where they... That women have to give them sex, and that if they don't get it, then that is an issue with society. And yeah, it comes back to the issue of being owed sex. I don't know if that's part of the incel subculture. Like you, I'm not an expert on it, but from what I've seen, it's less, we are owed sex. It's more like I am not getting this fundamental human need. Like I am, these people are starved of something that is so essential for being a well-adjusted human being in there. They're kind of crying out. It's more that and less, this woman owes me sex or something.
Right. Yeah. I mean, nobody owes anybody sex, but the society used to be arranged that almost everybody who wanted to get married badly enough could do so. And almost everybody did. And sex wasn't that important in that world. And so, how are these guys supposed to move on? I mean, where's the market for marriage now? There used to be that every society had some procedure, like socially sanctioned procedure for finding a mate. You know, it used to be you'd go courting to the girl's house more recently take her out on dates and this was approved. There has to be some approved way of going about getting a spouse. And right now there really doesn't seem to be, there's no corresponding concept of honorable intentions. This is something that I think the feminists have brought about with their sexual harassment movement. The idea is that women have this right to be free of attention that they don't want, and therefore a guy who looks for a maid is possibly doing some kind of injustice to the woman. It's really, it's an insane system. We're not going to be able to live without a socially sanctioned form of courtship forever.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is just one of the many ripple effects from the destruction of our, traditional social technology, thanks to the left, right? We had all of these in the before times, as in meaning, a generation or two ago, we had all of these ways of dating that worked well. They led to good outcomes, but those have been eradicated like many other things. One thing I want to touch on is the role of dating apps like Tinder, OkCupid, and so forth. There's I can't show it now, obviously, because we're doing an audio podcast, but there's a very interesting graph that shows the celibacy rates between men and women.
You might
have seen this one. Yeah, and at one year, I believe it's 2012, 2013, around that time, there was a massive divergence. Male celibacy skyrockets, female celibacy totally declines. And someone pointed out that that was the year that Tinder came out. So I'm wondering how much of this, you know, obviously the decline of monogamy is something that predates these dating apps and so forth. But do you think that Tinder and other online dating websites have really, you know, accelerated this process?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Tinder either. I don't do online dating, but what you're saying there, it sounds like hypergamy. That's the pattern. The women find it very easy to get sex and all the sex they need with a relatively small number of men. And so, is Tinder a dater? I guess pretty much all dating apps favor the woman, as you know.
Yeah,
it's in the nature of things. Is Tinder different somehow? Or
Tinder is different because of the way that it's designed facilitates far easier connections, I would say. Basically what it is you create a profile and then you go to the matching screen, I guess, for lack of a better way to describe it. And a woman's profile will appear on the screen and you can click on it to see more of her pictures, see a brief bio, or you can just click swipe to the right. And that means that you like her, you approve her. Of her, or you swipe to the left, and that means you don't. And if she swipes the same way on you, then it's a match, and then you can chat. So it really
even if you both swipe negatively.
No, sorry. Only if you both approve of.
Yes.
But I think what this has done is that it's really amplified the harem effect, right? So women are on there, and they're seeing attractive.
Yeah.
I think many, you know, less than attractive.
I'm sure.
Women are just only swiping. Right, they're only approving highly attractive men, and they're going to be guys on there that are just looking for a quick lay, so they have no issues with sleeping with a girl who's, you know, has a lower sexual market value than them.
Yes. I think in general with dating apps, you know, the first of all, you're just going to have way more men using them than women. And then the woman is going to get 10 times as many expressions of interest as the man does. And so it's a lot of guys have given up on it, deciding it's kind of a mug's game. It seems to be something that just sort of magnifies the natural female advantage.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Of course, you know, as I've written at some length, the funny part about this is, for the most part, until we started hearing about incels, you never really heard anything about men having trouble getting dates. The complaints all came from the women, that these guys that they're hooking up with mysteriously don't want to marry them, and they can't understand why that's the case. And you know, it's like Columbus's egg. It's the simplest thing in the world once you understand it. It's the women converging on a relatively small number of high status men. And yeah, the men are it's not that these men are horrible people. They just don't have any reason to commit. They're the ones who don't have to. If the women wanted to, you know, a man to commit to them, they'd probably go and look for an incel. But, you know, women aren't particularly rational about this sort of thing, of course.
And that's the last thing that they want, I think.
Right, and neither are we.
Correct.
There's a self-reinforcing thing, you know. If you're right, nothing succeeds with women like success. You know, if it's obvious that you've been successful with women in the past, that in itself is going to make you more successful in the future. So the hypergamous mating becomes sort of self-reinforcing. I don't know how we're going to bring it to an end.
Yeah, like many other issues caused by progressivism, it's going to take quite a bit of work and creativity to turn things around. But so one thing that I find very fascinating about the left's response to incel culture is that These leftists have essentially adopted talking points that are oddly reminiscent of those used by capitalists to refer to these incels. They place the burden to obtain sex, much like capitalists use the same...
Your responsibility to find a job or...
Right, right. Or so they place the burden on the individual. So it's almost a pull yourself up by the bootstraps mentality.
Yeah.
And there have been some people on, some right-wingers on Twitter that have done some very good trolling. They've used socialist or even total communist rhetoric about that would normally be used about capital and labor and all that, but about sex, you know, referring to this as a systemic issue in society, and incels are are being oppressed, and there needs to be you know, redistribution of things, which obviously is monogamy at the end of the day. But so what are your thoughts on the left pretty much being forced to adopt this almost capitalist line of reasoning?
See, the thing is, there never was a free market in sex before. So that's what we have now. Yes, there's a sort of a free for all, but sex was controlled according to a certain scheme of of monogamous marriage for everyone. So in a way, monogamy is a form of sexual egalitarianism. So in that way, it was very different from the free market, which, you know, permits enormous differences in wealth. And as Kevin McDonald has written, this is, in a way, this is one of the defining features of the West, that we combine sexual egalitarianism with a large degree of freedom in other aspects of life.
Would you describe sex as a commodity, or do you think that's pushing it?
Well, sex is a commodity when it's sold, you know, and just as human beings are a commodity when they're sold. In a healthy monogamous system, no, it really isn't.
But under this free market relationship,
yes, it
with
does
sex
tend,
that we
it
do.
Does tend, it does tend to commodify sex to some extent, yes, yeah. And of course, you know, the way sex appeal is used to sell goods, you know, it's also been commercialized in that sense, you know, putting having naked women hold your products up to the camera. And
definitely. So would you, in light of what we were just talking about, do you think it's fair to say that incels are the proletariat of the sexual marketplace?
Yes, right. They're the losers of the sexual revolution, and there are more of them than people realize. It just amazes me how for decades this pretense has been kept up that the sexual marketplace is like some kind of endless Woodstock festival and that every guy is able to get all the sex he wants. It's just, in one way, it's just a testament to the fact that men don't like to complain. These incel guys are pretty unusual in actually being willing to come out there and complain about the situation they're in. Because, see, women like to complain because when they do, men like to step up and help them. But when men complain, they just seem weak and they're despised by women. So that's why men don't complain. And I think some very unhealthy thing like this incel rebellion was probably bound to come about eventually.
So there's another term that's related to the term incel that I want to discuss. And the term is volcel, whereas is involuntarily celibate. Volcel is someone who is voluntarily celibate. What are your thoughts on, you know, the volcel angle to all of this?
Yeah. Well, as I wrote in my book, the endorsement of voluntary celibacy by Christianity was historically a liberalization of the sexual order. In the ancient world, everybody was expected to marry, and it was considered irresponsible not to. And you know, you were supposed to raise up children, raise up future soldiers and citizens. And you weren't permitted to duck out of it. But of course, you know, certain guys, let me back up a little bit. One of the things that I've noticed is among the men, like the world historical figures that I most admire, I noticed a pattern that, you know, an awfully large number of them were never married. And this makes sense that men of that men who have no wife and family are able to achieve. They have more time for other things, and they're among those who are able to achieve great things. And so this is one reason that that Christianity recognized voluntary celibacy as something that could be endorsed for a minority of people. Most people are better off getting married, of course. But for those who don't, it allows, you know, certain very unusual people to concentrate on some task, spiritual in the broader sense. Doesn't have to be, you know, being in a religious order, but, you know, it can be following a personal calling. And such people oftentimes achieve great things. At least sometimes they achieve great things and make a greater contribution to our world than they would have if they had just, you know, spent their time raising a family like everyone else. So I have nothing against voluntary celibacy.
Do you think it's possible that many, if not most, of these Volcel individuals, they've adopted the Volcel identity to cope with the fact that they actually just can't, you know, they're actually incels.
Yeah, like women who can't get boyfriends and declare themselves lesbians, right, or something. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, this is a field in which, yeah, unequivocal judgments are impossible. There's so many possibilities for self-deception and so many ambiguous cases. So I don't know. Christianity, of course, made it very unambiguous because, you know, if you wanted to live life as a voluntary celibate, you had to take a vow to that, right, to that, you know, at the beginning. And so, but I don't know. I think that there are a lot of unhappy people out there who would be happier if they lived in a more traditional society and could just get married and start. And, you know, when you get married, sex gets less important anyway. You start concentrating on the children that you're likely to have. You know, like these guys don't talk, these incels, they don't talk about fatherhood. But that's the real cure, I think, for this. You know, once they find a woman in a normal, healthy society, the thoughts are going to turn away from sex, in the medium term, and turn to their family. And after all, raising children is a lot more involved and a lot more important task than just conceiving them.
Right. I think the incel obsession with sex is just because they're not getting it. They're not even,
yeah, exactly,
it's the hierarchy,
yeah,
of it, needs. They can't even think about,
yeah, 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 yeah,
about,
yeah,
having a family or, you know, marriage or anything like that. It's just the immediate need for sex that they're not getting. But I wanted to ask you, do you think it's solely about sex, or is there something more there?
No. Well, sex is never solely about sex. It's, you know, these guys, they miss everything that does come with a good marriage. You know, they miss female companionship in a larger sense. And as I said, they miss fatherhood, I think, even though they may not be aware of that. You know, they seem to be accepting this message from our wider culture that everything, that sex is supposed to be the center of their concerns. And, you know, that's just a bad and a harmful attitude, under any circumstances.
Yeah, there was an interesting article in The Independent titled "Here's What Every Incel Needs: A Sex Robot." As the title would suggest, the author advocates that sex robots have the potential to solve the incel problem. I think, as we were just discussing, that, you know, it's about sex, but it's also about love, affection, companionship, even validation.
Exactly. And I mean, these guys could always go to prostitutes, right? You know, so in that sense, they're not involuntarily celibate. These guys, I'm sure a lot of them have decent jobs. They could afford a simple mid-range prostitute every month or every week to take care of those needs. It sounds like a similar suggestion I heard recently about pedophilia, that somebody wants to give pedophiles child dolls. Kind of disgusting, but
Yeah,
would it do any good? Maybe, I don't know.
Right, I've heard certain people argue that even giving pedophiles child pornography in a controlled manner would help cut down on the urges and all of that. That's a whole nother rabbit hole to go down, and I will unequivocally state right now that I do not support anything that.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't think that's an issue that you want to take a very nuanced stance on. But yeah, it does seem like they're starved of more than sex, right? And that is, again, an issue stemming from the sexual revolution, from progressive policies in general. So do you think it's...
general hostility toward men. You know, these men have certainly experienced that. Awful lot of women, they crash and burn with their alpha males, and then they spend the rest of their lives hating men and deciding, you know, that men are the problem, and so, you know, a lot of guys have been on the receiving end of all this female hostility.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing about the left is that they get so dogmatic about their principles and about what they can't, you know, people can't do, which, you know, these days is anything remotely traditional right wing or reactionary.
Yeah.
And they tend to, I think they tend to ignore the outcomes, because it is something that is so rigid and dogmatic that it doesn't, you know, it's better to have, you know, the sexual revolution and its consequences, even if the outcomes are bad, than it is to have those repressive gender roles and all of that. So, but do you think that the left will ever, because there is a flip side to that coin, in that they could start treating incels as, you know, a protected class or something. Do you think that's likely?
Yeah, right. I guess, march through the streets with placards and claim that they have rights. But yeah, that's an example of what you said about the rigidity of the left. That's an example of, it's a result of rights thinking. Rights are inherently something absolute. And in traditional society, you didn't really hear much about rights. You rather had a vision of the good life, and you tried to help people to attain it through marriage and child rearing. And when you do that, you know, insisting on your rights kind of becomes a moot point. The rights-based thinking results in a kind of a neglect of consequences. Inherently, it leads to that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's, you know, in the one sense, it's unfortunate that these views are hegemonic because they are so destructive, because they're ultimately viewed it in a rights-centered orientation. Mm-hmm. But perhaps there's another side to this that is a bit more positive, and that is the fact that because the left is so rigid, it's not going to readjust and start addressing the needs of all of these people who are being kind of kicked to the curb, right? I think that the message that the left has sent with all of this, the stuff about the incel rebellion and so forth, is that these people are bad and they just need to shut up and go away.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, the left, over the long term, this situation may be self-correcting, in that the people who actually follow the left's recommendations end up not reproducing, and people, traditionalists who get married when they're young and raise families, do. So I think, you know, over the next generation, you may literally see the left and the people who follow their recommendations just sort of, you know, diminishing in the population. But of course, a lot of lives are going to be blasted in the meantime. You know, it's something that cannot happen quickly enough.
Yeah, I think the time is working in our favor, right? We know that conservatives have a much higher fertility rate than liberals. The future, you know, future generations are going to belong to conservatives. Although at the same time, the left is importing, you know, millions of people from the third world to be their useful idiots and vote for the policies that are continuing to destroy the West. But so other than simply outbreeding liberals and progressives, what other practical ways that can we go about solving the incel crisis?
Well, one of the best ways would be to tackle the problem of divorce. I mean, marriage itself, even for those who are able to find it, ends up being such a raw deal for so many men these days. Something like a quarter of men now are saying they intend never to marry because, you know, word gets out eventually. You get married, you're likely to find yourself divorced in a few years. You're going to have to be supporting your ex-wife and her new boyfriend out of your own pay. And so the laws are just going to have to be changed to protect married men. If men are, you know, if women are to be able to find husbands and if men are to see anything good in marriage again, the divorce industry, putting the divorce industry out of business, I think is the single best thing we could do to restore traditional marriage and courtship.
Yeah, definitely. I think we do have successful models in the past, thankfully. So we, mm-hmm. you know, it's just we do need to figure out how we can implement those in the future. But in the meantime, do you think it's likely that we're going to see more incel terrorism? Do you see this being an issue that's going to just get worse as time goes on?
I don't know. Well, it's out there now. There is to some extent a copycat effect. I think this Manassian guy was imitating Elliot Rodgers. So, it could keep on happening. I hope that you know the public has just begun to discover this issue, and the early responses are just hopelessly naive. So, I hope some people out there read Sexual Utopia and Power and similar literature and get a better understanding of what we're dealing with. Although I didn't, you know, I'm not really connected to the incel movement in any way. I did in a sense predict it, you know, pointing out that it's just impossible that every man has a harem as is publicly made out. And as you would believe if you read a Cosmopolitan magazine, you know.
Right. Well, I think we should go ahead and wrap up here. We've covered quite a bit of ground, yes. And I think we've shed some light on this important issue. But before we do, say that there are incels listening to this very show right now. What practical advice would you give them?
well, probably to get off of those boards where they give each other black pills. I mean, I suspect that in many cases these are young men who have suffered from depression. I read that, and it sounds, from the kind of stuff that I'm seeing coming off of these boards, it sounds like these young men need to be directed into some kind of course of self-improvement. You know, you're better off watching The Golden One than or reading Sexual Utopia and Power, right. Maybe getting yourself a good dating coach like Doc Love. I don't know if he's still active or not, but there are some good ones out there that advise you on how to find a good woman and how to avoid the bad ones. There's still a lot you can do. What we're suffering from is too much freedom, but in a way that's good because, you know, you do have the freedom to remake your life. You don't have to wallow in frustration as these men seem to be doing. It's the worst possible reaction to their situation.
I think that admitting defeat and just giving up in any endeavor is a great way to ensure that you never succeed and you never figure out whether or not you could have actually, you know, pulled it off to begin with.
Yes, exactly. And the very fact that they have this hatred for the sexually successful, for popular men and women that they call Chads and Stacys, is for me the real proof of the fundamentally negative character of the movement. These guys got to stop thinking about everyone else and stop imagining that, you know, a life is great for everyone else. Even the sexually successful have plenty of problems. They got problems in their marriage. They got problems in their job, you know. So these sexually frustrated men, you know, they have one particular problem, but it shouldn't be the center of their reality, you know.
Yeah, I certainly agree. My perspective on all of this is, to go back to economics, similar to how I view the poor, right? It's that On the one hand, you can acknowledge that there are systemic issues, right? Someone living in the Rust Belt, maybe they're poor because the factories all left 50 years ago, right? So you can acknowledge that there are systemic forces working against people. Nevertheless, you always have agency, and perhaps your options are going to be limited, but you can't give up, and you have to keep trying, and you have to just play the hand that you're dealt at the end of the day. I think they're I think that if any of these incels are truly hopeless and there is absolutely nothing that they can do to find a girlfriend, I think that has to be a very, very small percentage of the incel demographic overall. I think that staying positive and focusing on what you can do, you know, playing the hand you're dealt, like I said.
Yes, yes, exactly. Awesome.
But I think the best thing that they can do more than anything else is to read your book, Sexual Utopian Power.
Thanks for that. Yes, thanks for the plug.
And where can they find that book?
At Countercurrents or on Amazon. It was published by Countercurrents Publishing, and it's on Amazon and Barnes and Noble as well. You can get the electronic edition for, I think, less than $4. So there's no excuse for not taking a look at it.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal. Other than your book, is there any other part of the internet where you put out content that people should look for?
Oh, well, I don't. Most of my writing is not actually about sex, but yes, I write for American Renaissance and Countercurrents and V-Dare occasionally. Social Contract I've written for and Occidental Observer and Occidental Quarterly.
Awesome. Well, I think this was a pretty good show. Thank you again for coming on, and we'll have to have you again on sometime in the near future.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll look forward to it.